The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
All right. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome to the Ocean Mist Power Hour right here on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. You might be here in the morning, the afternoon, the evening. You might be here in Brookings Harbor, Oregon, or you might be anywhere in the world, any time of day, if you're listening in via podcast. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, we welcome you to the Ocean Mist Power Hour. I'm your co-host, Misty Young. I'm joined today in the studio by my co-host, Sherry Carybaum. Hello, Sherry.
Hello. What a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. And, you know, we're gonna talk about nutrition as we always do. But before we get started, you know, we're coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon, which is the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, as we like to say. It is about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. Not as far. You can get further west, but it's about as far west as you can get. This is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and truly, truly the nicest people you'll ever meet. Where the mountains and the old growth redwoods meet the sea, Harbor and Brookings is home to me, and I'm so glad you've joined us here today. Before we really take off on our topic today, we're going to talk about obesity today. And before we get started, I'd really like to say thank you to the entire KCIW sound engineering crew and all the folks behind the scenes, whether they're on the board of directors or out there in the community as volunteers helping this little station that is, that could, that did get on the air and bring programming that matters to you. So today we're going to talk about obesity. You know that I am not a doctor. I am not a scientist. I'm a nutrition nerd. I'm a nutrition geek. I do hold a certificate in plant-based nutritional therapy from the Health Sciences Academy, as well as the plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies, as does Sherry Carybaum. Sherry is a Bachelor of Science in Nursing and a Master of Science in Nursing, and she too holds a certificate in plant-based nutrition from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. Now, Sherry, I have a question to ask you as we get started.
Oh, you I love your questions, Misty.
you know there's always a good question coming. You are currently studying for a new board certification. Is that correct?
I am. It's a brand new program that's starting for all kinds of health providers. And what I mean by that is doctors, nurses, social workers, nutritionists. And it's called Lifestyle Medicine. And you have to take a course online in class also. And then you take a big exam to be board certified. So pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Pretty excited. Maybe a tad bit nervous, you know, but pretty excited about it.
That's phenomenal. Well, what we've learned so many times over the recent months that we've been talking is it's really about lifestyle, right?
It is. It's all about lifestyle. And that is the whole point. So what a great thing that this group is getting together. And it's international. It's just not national. It's international, trying to educate the providers that lifestyle medicine is really what's going to make a difference in our healthcare system, healthcare costs, and helping to cure people instead of just putting that medication band-aid on them.
Right. The medication band-aid that all too often does not work. I mean, the bottom line is if people want to get healthy and they want to be in a place of vibrance and robust human health, a lot of what they have to do is take it in their own control, take power on their own. And yet they're working and living within a system that really contributes through zero fault of their own to a growing epidemic of obesity, overweight, morbid obesity, and all the things that come along with that, including metabolic syndrome. Now, Sherry, could you talk today a little bit about, I'd like for you to sort of open up and introduce us to the topic of obesity. And share why it's not people's fault if they're dealing with obesity. What makes it not their fault?
It's interesting because we do have an epidemic when 71% of your population is either overweight or obese. That That's an epidemic as far as I'm concerned. And it's not just our nation. You know, England, Australia, all of the Western nations are really struggling with this. And it's going to hit us very hard economically as countries.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just as a country. I mean, let's not even talk about the personal pain, personal grief that everybody else is going to be dealing with, the loss of life, the loss of mobility. So when you consider the fact that it has become an epidemic and it's something that we have to address, and how we've been addressing it is really just to blame the public. I mean, that's what we've been doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many years have we said that it's due to a sedentary lifestyle and lack of motivation? So we've been blaming these people and judging these people. And the new studies are showing that it isn't due to lack of exercise and it isn't due to just the increase in calories. It has to do with the fact that we have a very toxic food environment. When you talk to people and you ask them, 84% in this one particular study said that obesity was due to lack of motivation and lack of exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we're going to be blaming everybody for the fact that they can't lose weight. And we all know how hard it is to lose weight, right?
Well, it's hard to lose weight when every place you turn around, whether it's the gas station, the library, the insurance office, the hardware store, the church building, it doesn't matter where you go. There's a pile of candy on a desk. There's a bowl of candy, or they're pitching unhealthy foods every single place you turn around. I mean, you go to the hardware store to get a hammer and nails or to get some piece of hardware that you need to do a project, and on your way out the door, there's pepperoni and packaged salamis. I mean, those are bad enough just being meat products, but then those are next to big bags of kettle corn and chips and candy bars and taffy and just stuff that gets into your body and makes you sick. Fat, sick, and tired is what it makes you.
It truly, truly is a toxic food environment. We're surrounded by it. And if we look at our history, so I want to go back to the 1960s, right? I was alive in 1960.
I was
a almost. Child. You were almost. Oh, show off.
Sorry.
Dang,
girl.
That was
deep
to my heart.
Oh, I just cut you deep, girl. I'm sorry.
So you're the little sister.
That's right.
It's out there now. But if you look back to the 1960s, we didn't eat processed food, right? There was somebody at home, and typically it was the mom, and she didn't have two jobs. She wasn't overstressed. We're not blaming moms either. What we're saying is that society has changed. In the 60s, we made our own food. And typically it was from scratch, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't overconsumption. We all, you know, just ate a little bit of meat and then fruits and vegetables and beans and rice and all those other nice, healthy foods. But in the 1970s, basically women started going back to work. We had more and more processed food. And again, the processed food basically is toxic food. It's full of fat, salt, sugar, and preservatives so that we can make it nice and fast. I mean, I remember Hamburger Helper, right?
Yes.
Not only was it fast, but it stretched a food budget. You could use one pound of hamburger and feed six people in our house. So truly, the industry made a change for food, and it is putting a huge impact on our health. And it's just gone spiraling downhill. The obesity started in the 1970s, and it's just escalated and escalated and escalated. And it's funny because people want to blame it on the fact that we're no longer doing as much physically. And they always go back to, well, you used to have to wash your laundry and, you know, you were a farm worker and all of these other things. But think about it. There were washing machines in 1970. There were tractors in 1970.
There were.
Right?
That's
we're
right.
not talking
That's right.
about
That's
the right. 1800s.
Right.
So we had the conveniences. Yeah, we watch a bit more TV, and we all have a computer that we sit in front of, or an iPad, or a phone, and so we are a little bit less active. But don't be tricked. It's not that calories in, calories out.
it's just not calories in, calories out. In fact, the CEO of PepsiCo said that obesity wouldn't exist if all consumers exercised. So, you know, if we're talking calorie in, calorie out, let me just tell you something. 100 calories of carrots is not the same as 100 calories of Coca-Cola. I mean, for first of all, or for Pepsi, either one of them, it doesn't matter. Whatever, soda, 100 calories of soda is far and away easier to get into your body than 100 calories of carrots.
Oh,
I think
you have
to eat 10 or 15 carrots to get 100 calories in your body. The chewing alone would erase the calories. But, you know, you can go down and get a trough of soda from one of the fast food places on death row in any community, and you can get literally a trough of soda that's, I don't know, 24, 36, 58, 812 ounces. I don't know. I see people walking along with
64.
These troughs. 64. I mean, they're being sold a gallon of soda.
Pretty much.
A gallon.
And it's not even soda.
With free refills.
What exactly is in soda? Well, in the United States, you've got corn syrup, right? Which is a processed food. I mean, way more processed than sugar. And then what is in the rest of it? I mean, I don't even know what's in soda pop.
It's a chemical concoction that's designed to bring us back, right? I mean, it's so weird how people say things like, well, I'm really addicted to Pepsi. Or I'm really addicted to Diet Coke. Or, of course, the one we hear all the time is I'm addicted to cheese. But what people don't realize is when they say I'm really addicted, they are literally addicted. Like, they are 100% literally and truly addicted. Trust me. You know, I own a restaurant company, as most folks know who listen to our program. I do not have a panel of experts, a panel of what I would call craveability experts, whose sole role is to spend multi-millions of dollars and hours in a laboratory to create chemical concoctions that will light up the right centers in your brain, put the right feel, the mouth feel, the texture, the flavor, the quote-unquote bliss point on your tongue. I don't have that, but Coca-Cola does. Frito-Lay does.
They all do. And they know, they've got the scientists and they've got the studies, and they also have the game plan to get you to come back, just like the tobacco companies. Did you know that the tobacco companies used to spray extra nicotine on the cigarettes, and they would also spray ammonia so that you'd get a faster, harder nicotine kick?
Wow.
So they knew this. They had scientists that said, this is what we want to do. We want to bring them back. And in the industrialized nation, now that we're industrialized, prior to the industrialized time, people couldn't afford to buy cigarettes because they had to be all hand rolled. So typically people would smoke a cigarette a day, right? Because it cost more, harder to get. And now, what, a pack and a half a day? Because the cigarettes are made by machines. They're fast, they're profitable, all these other factors. So it's kind of interesting to think about the fact that our food companies are playing in the same game book that something as toxic as cigarettes is.
Well, it's crazy. And I'm so glad that you brought up the comparison to the cigarette industry. When, you know, back in the day, you had to roll up a cigarette. You might take one or two puffs, and then you might put that cigarette aside and come back to it. But then once the convenience factor got in, and yes, we had tractors in the 70s, and yes, we had vacuum cleaners and washing machines in the 1970s. But something else also happened in the 70s, which was a revolution in the food industry. So just like the tobacco industry changed from people having to roll one cigarette at a time, maybe if you were really a high smoker, you might have 5 cigarettes a day. I don't know. But food also went through a rapid transformation where the consumer got it now where it's prepackaged, it's ready to go.
Right.
You didn't have to, you know, if you wanted to eat some kind of a special pastry or a special cake before all of this time, grandma or mom would most likely, I mean, dads, I'm sure, baked too, but let's just be real. Probably most of the baking is done by women in the past. And, you know, those ladies would go to the kitchen and they would literally work away, slave in front of the stove to bring you a pastry, a cookie, a cake, a pie. Now you can go down to the grocery store and buy one, get one free and get 2 pounds for the same price as 1 pound, and you can scarf them all the way home. So this revolution where everything now had a profound transformation from food to processed food, from food in its natural state to prepared food, ready to go, slurp it and go. How can people even fight against that? They can't, because
they can't.
Sherry, talk to me. Talk to me about this. You know, we talk. I hate to out both of us on this, but we're just not normal people.
No.
This is all we talk about. So earlier this week, we were talking about this, as we do all the time. And we were saying that, I know you were sharing with me that people don't stand a chance in that our biological processes, and I'm even going to take it even a step further and say our biological and our psychological processes have been hijacked by the food industry. So talk about that a little bit. Talk about this hijacking. What does it mean, and what do we do about it?
You know what it means. Again, the food industry is getting their information and their, you know, how they're going to handle getting people addicted and coming back for more from the same book as the cigarette companies.
Same playbook. And
absolutely. Mm-hmm. And they know about the biological drive. They know that we're wired for certain foods. We're wired to be afraid of lack. Okay? Because if you think about it, biologically, we're worried about famine. We're worried about not having enough food later.
Yes.
Right? So we will overeat because of that. And they know that. And so what they do is they trick us. They give us food with that are high calorie that dissolve in your mouth. I mean, a lot of the food, that's one of the one things about Frito-Lays and all these potato chips or even those cinnamon buns. What are they? They smell so yummy in the grocery store.
Honey buns. Oh, yeah. Cinnabon.
They're playing with you because they know that when you chew them, you don't want to chew a lot. If you chew a lot, it slows down eating. You get full faster. You eat less. Potato chips.
You digest better.
All those things too, right? It's better for you. Oh, it's so much better
to
for
chew,
you.
Yes.
Chew and chew thoroughly and then swallow because you've still got that volume. You've got that fiber in your stomach. So you're going to eat less. But they don't want you to eat less. They want you to eat more so you'll come back and buy more. And they know that our brains are wired for fear of lack, right? For fear of famine.
Feast or famine, right? It's that scarcity thing. And so humans were designed to go out foraging, finding whatever it is. You don't know. You didn't know way back when. I mean, this is one of those things. Well, we talk about whole food, plant-based eating all the time, and you get these people, well, you know, animals, lions eat meat, and so our ancestors ate meat. I'm not even going to go there right now, but I had to say it, you know, because it was fun to say. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, way back in the day, humans didn't know if they were going to get to eat today, tomorrow, the next day, or 5 days from now. They knew what they found today they needed to eat today. And the body is designed to take what you eat today and store it, right? So, I mean, if you put food in and it's more than you're going to use for the day, your body says, hey, dude, there's probably a famine coming. Set it aside. Right. Make sure it's available. Right. So feast or famine is what they're looking for in this whole idea of the scarcity impact. But there is no scarcity. There is no famine. It doesn't exist anymore. Not in our society.
Not in our society. And I have to tell you, I heard something funny, and it's not on the same thing right now. It is about obesity, but it's about animal products. And I told you I'm like addicted to those cooking shows, right?
Yes,
I love those cooking shows. And this one woman gets on and she says, well, all I can think of is animals because God created animals for us to eat. And I was like, I better hide my cat.
Oh, my God.
Cheesecake, where are you? You better watch out. God made you for me to eat.
Oh, my gosh. That is kind of ironic, by the way, that you have a cat named Cheesecake.
Didn't name him, but he is. And what's even worse? He showed up with that name. What's even worse? He's diabetic.
Oh my God.
Now I can't write this stuff. I mean, is that not the most ridiculous thing in the world?
That is crazy.
To get back to how they know about our biological drives, and they use it against us. They know that because of scarcity. If you think about back to prehistoric times, they didn't have salt, sugar, and fat, right? They might have had a little bit of fat.
There was no salt shaker on your table.
Yeah. No, and there's no sugar, right? There's sugar in fruit, mm-hmm. so fruit was a huge treat. Fat, mm-hmm. if they had animals, they would get fat, or they would get it from nuts. But not in the level that we have it now. And that's why mm-hmm. we were biologically driven to find those things. And unfortunately, we're still driven to find those things and think they taste tasty and overeat them.
You know, it's crazy when I think about the whole fat part. And I know we're going to talk about oil a little bit later. And, you know, most of us have these concepts that something like the Mediterranean diet is going to be healthy yeah. for us because they tell us that it is healthier for us. But then the next question always comes down to, but it's got all that olive oil in it, right? That's why, because right. the olive oil.
Well, no. It is very funny because it is a better diet. The Mediterranean diet is much better for us health-wise than the standard yep. American diet. No question about it. It is.
Yep.
It's not because of but the olive oil.
But it's not the olive oil. Okay, I was just checking.
You know, and olive oil is better for you than lard, right?
Sure.
Animal fat. Mm-hmm. It's better for you.
Yep.
But it isn't the oil that's improving our health. It's the fact that the Mediterranean diet is such a diet that's high in fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, all those things. That's what's driving the health. And again, it's advertisement. It's food companies saying, oh, buy this olive oil, or we're giving you a Mediterranean packaged food from the freezer. Right. And you look at it and you go, well, it's Mediterranean. I mean, it Mediterranean diet's good for me. Do you ever turn over that label and actually read what's in the ingredients?
Mm-hmm.
Is it fresh food? Is it fresh vegetables? Mm-hmm. Or is it mm-hmm. words you can't pronounce? You have no mm-hmm. idea what the heck that is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still just microwaving it and eating it. And I don't think whole food plant-based, which is what you and I eat, it doesn't have to be a trial to cook. It doesn't have to be this huge endeavor. I'm not saying you have to cook over the stove, you know, with sweat pouring down and it's been 6 hours, right? Right. There is healthy foods that are convenient. Beans in a can. Just look for low sodium mm-hmm. beans. Mm-hmm. You can buy rice that's frozen, brown rice that's mm-hmm. frozen. All you have to do is microwave it or put it in a pan and heat it. So there's some mm-hmm. convenience foods that are okay and healthy and are mm-hmm. whole foods. You just have to look for them and find them, but they're there. It doesn't have to take 10 hours to cook dinner.
Well, when I think about, you know, our ancestors, and I think about them having to go foraging for food and coming back for a second to this idea of the hijacking that's happened, part of the hijacking is when our ancestors went out looking for stuff, they looked for bright colors, red
oh, yeah.
berries and purple berries and grapes and oranges and strawberries, right? So they're looking for these super bright colors, those colors that are attractive. And it's crazy. If you walk into the fruit and veg aisle, guess what? You see all of those things. And then if you go in
beautiful.
2, 3, 4, 6 aisles over, you see all the same colors. You know, isn't it
you
interesting?
Do.
I'm curious, Sherry, do you remember in... Here's a question I have never asked you, and we have
uh-oh.
Never talked about
uh-oh.
This. Ready?
Uh-oh.
Dun, dun, dun. Do you remember when generic products very first came out? I'm going to say it was probably like 1980, maybe 81.
Right, right.
When the generic products first came out, and they were sort of Brand X-y. You know, it's like, ooh, Brand
right.
X. And it was white packaging with black labels. It
right.
was a white bag with
that.
Black labels that said potato chips. You remember. I'm so glad you do. Because that didn't last very long. The black and
no.
white packaging didn't last very long. And before you know it, what we ended up with is all of this highly attractive, beautiful packaging that draws us in. Sometimes with words like natural, all natural, naturally sourced,
oh,
healthy.
They lie. You know that's my pet peeve, right? You know that that's
know,
my pet
yes.
peeve. Because it's,
I know.
Are you vegetarian? Are you vegan? Are you whole foods? Are you whole food plant-based? I mean, it is so confusing, and they want you to be confused. Whole food.
Well, confused people, yes.
Whole food is not plant-based. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
If you read a label and the second ingredient is oil of any kind, that is not plant-based whole foods.
It's not whole food.
It's plant-based.
Exactly right.
It might be olive oil or coconut oil or any of those other things, but it is not plant-based.
The thing is, oil is an extractive. It is a processed component. I mean, think about olives for a second. You always help me remember the numbers, but I think one tablespoon of oil comes out of like 25 olives or 30 olives or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, right around 31 to 32.
I mean, you could sit down and eat 31 or 32 olives if you can, and you're going to get some nutrients. You're going to get some fiber. You will get all of that fat that comes with it. But if you just take one tablespoon of olive oil, and then this is the mistake I think that a lot of us make, and it comes back to this whole Mediterranean diet thing, you know. And don't even get me started on keto, because the keto people are like, oh, just take a quarter cup of olive oil and put it on your salad. I'm thinking, no, don't do that. You're killing yourself.
Oh my gosh, I can't even fathom how many calories a quarter cup is.
Oh my God.
I mean, just think about that. So you think that's
better? I would hurl.
Than a hamburger? No. I mean, a quarter cup? How many tablespoons in a quarter cup?
I don't even know. We should probably find out.
Three or four. That's a good question, although I'm not going to ask Siri.
Good form not to ask Siri right now. But the thing is, you know, the food industry knows about these tactics where, you know, some folks would call this greenwashing, right? Where the companies are deceptively pretending to be environmentally friendly or nutritionally friendly, using words like all natural or healthy.
It's not greenwashing. They have a specific term. It's called lean washing, because they want to think that they're going to help you to lose weight.
Right.
So it's lean.
They want
washing.
You to think that they're helping, that they have an interest in reducing the obesity epidemic, when instead they're literally directly contributing to it.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Interesting.
It is interesting. This is the kind of thing that drives me nuts when I'm driving around town listening to the nutritionfacts.org podcast, because, you know, I get it in my car.
Wait a minute. You're not listening to us?
Well, we talked about it. You know, we already lived that podcast, but I do listen to us on occasion. When I see food delivery trucks, it used to drive me nuts that the Frito-Lay truck had a tagline on the back, and the tagline said, food for the fun of it.
Oh my.
And it just used to incense me, because, you know, one of my kids, I have two daughters. They're both incredibly wonderful, hardworking, dedicated young women. One of them had an obesity issue when she was a young woman. She was literally pretty overweight. Yeah, she had to go to a health boarding school. I mean, we called it fat camp at the time. And it cost the family $30,000 to send her to 6 months of private school to help her with her obesity issue, which was unbelievable. And while she was there, I mean, just the fact that she was there to begin with, but they were lean washing even there. You know, they were lean washing even in the school. They didn't really understand, even though it was a program designed around food, they still focused on exercise 100% of the time.
Well,
they focused on exercise. I'll finish this theory, this thought.
Okay.
But when I would think about food for the fun of it, and then I would think about a little 9-year-old girl, she struggled with her weight from 9 to 16. All those years in between. I mean, she got on the school bus and kids called her a whale. And she, you know, she was
so judgmental.
She wasn't huge, but she was, you know, she had an issue to deal with. And so when I see food for the fun of it, or I think about Nestle, what does Nestle's, they're one of the largest food companies in the world, right? And they're rebranding themselves currently. What are they calling themselves now?
I love their new branding. Isn't that fun? I'd like to rebrand myself someday. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be something. Theirs is Leading Nutrition. So they state that they are Leading Nutrition, Health, and Wellness.
Can you even believe that?
Kit Kat.
Oh my! Talk about lean washing.
Right. Runts. Oh, wait. Yeah. What's that cereal? You know, all those lovely sugar cereals that send our kids off to school with a quarter pound of sugar. Oh, not actually a quarter pound.
Right.
I'm exaggerating.
A quarter cup, maybe.
It's a lot.
A quarter cup. Yeah.
Well, and when you talk about a quarter cup, it's 4 tablespoons of oil in a quarter cup. So you're looking at 480 wow. calories.
80 calories.
What you're pouring on your salad, right?
Oh my gosh.
Okay, I got to go back to this oil thing only because
it's such a sticking point.
It drives me crazy. How about that coffee, right?
Oh, geez,
what is
right?
It called?
The butter bullet.
The bulletproof coffee,
something like
where
that.
Where they put in mm-hmm. butter in their coffee and coconut oil.
And coconut oil, mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, gag me, right? I mean,
ew,
come on. That just totally
gross.
You know how sometimes we go, oh, my mouth is watering. My mouth is not watering.
Right. It makes me want to hurl. I'm
it
like,
is.
Oh, no.
It does. People are proponents of that. Is just awful.
It's unbelievable.
But we're getting so many companies that are trying to trick us. And just like Nestle is saying, good food, good life. That's their mm-hmm. motto, right? Good mm-hmm. food, good life.
Mm-hmm.
What
mm-hmm.
kind of a good life do you get when your main food is the standard American diet or the processed food that Nestle sells? I honestly can't think of anything that Nestle sells that is actually healthy for us. You know, mm-mm. maybe baby formula for the families who can't breastfeed or the children. So I'm not knocking that because mm-hmm. I know that some people mm-hmm. really do struggle. So you got to give a hand that at mm-hmm. least they're doing that. But what else do they have? Carnation Instant Breakfast? Isn't that Nestle's?
Right. Cookie Crisp Cereal, Butterfinger, oh. Goobers, Gobstoppers. Come on. None of those things are going to provide any kind of health whatsoever.
And if you don't have health, you don't have a good life. I'm sorry. It's a hard life when you're ill or you're struggling with disease or obesity. I mean, your daughter... How judgmental of mm-hmm. children. And we know that children mm-hmm. tease and say mean things, but that sticks mm-hmm. with you no matter what
oh,
you say.
Yeah.
And okay, so now I sound like you. I'm going to rant. Sorry. I didn't mean that. You don't always
girl.
Rant,
you
but
go,
you
girl.
Say you rant. So I'm not picking
I
on
I say
you.
I rant.
But
it's all
know,
good.
Our country, when is business and government going to be more concerned about our health than finance? When will the interest of the public override industry profit? Because we know mm-hmm. that our government and industry mm-hmm. are working together. We know that there's subsidies, the billions of dollars for sugar, oil.
Billions.
Soy. Mm-hmm. Now, hey, I'm a tofu girl. I love tofu, if you want the truth.
Me too.
I can eat
it
raw. I mean, it's just yummy. But most of the soy that we're subsidizing is not for us.
Well, you know, we talked about that this week too. This is crazy. We were talking earlier this week about, you know, subsidies. So we're paying for soy, we're paying for corn,
yep.
we're buying food, right?
For,
we're
for
buying
the
food
animals.
Us as taxpayers for the animals.
So
right.
that we can fatten them up.
So we're buying
up.
Food for the animals. We can fatten them up and then we can eat them and then get the diseases that they're deceased corpse bodies deliver into our bodies, the inflammation, the inflammatory conditions, the cancers, the heart disease, the diabetes, all those things that are known and proven to come to our bodies by way of animal products. So now we've paid for the food, we bought the food, then we ate the food, we're getting the diseases, and now we're gonna pay for the health crisis on the other end, including the dollars that are spent to treat indigent folks. You know, there's a lot of folks
right.
who just don't have the money to pay for their own stuff, or just nationally, public
Absolutely.
Health is a huge, huge thing. I've heard you say before that our public health crisis is going to bankrupt our country.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've said it over and over, and it's just heartbreaking because all these subsidies were brought into our government and into the system for a really good reason. It was back in the 1930s. It was called the Farm Bill. Right. And
mm-hmm.
so when we had this severe depression, you know, the late 1920s, mm-hmm. early mm-hmm. 1930s, we were trying to keep farmers afloat. We were trying to keep food on our plates. And so the government mm-hmm. came up with the Farm Bill that was emergency. And it started out as an emergency. I don't know any emergency that's lasted
90 years.
Ouch.
Oh my God.
But we're still Ouch. Subsidizing a lot of the farmers, but we're not subsidizing the farmers that are that are growing fruits and vegetables. We're subsidizing
right.
the pork, the chicken, and the cow industry and the milk industry. And
Gross.
Even, you know, I still go back to It's a form of inequality in our country because not only are we subsidizing the farmers, but then a lot of this food that is not healthy food, we're actually giving to the poor through SNAP and through all these other programs that help people who need support. Right. I would much rather see my money and my taxpayers' dollars go into a roving bus that has fruit and vegetables, cooking classes. Mm-hmm. Let's teach people how to cook food from scratch. We know beans are inexpensive when you cook them yourself. Rice is inexpensive. We don't even have cooking classes anymore for people, right? Home ec is a thing of the past.
Right. I mean, and what if some of those marketing, you know, those dollars... It's not even just the subsidies for the purchasing or the growing. It's not even just the subsidies for the growing. But the food industry is one of the biggest advertising clients in the world. It surely is in the United States. It's one of the biggest advertising sectors of our whole economy. But in addition to that, the federal government also provides marketing dollar subsidies to those companies. Like McDonald's has a whole group in their company whose job in McDonald's company is to manage the federally subsidized marketing budget.
Wow.
What in the world is that about? Let me just raise my hand here for a second and say, I own a food restaurant. I own a company like that. Where's my share of that marketing money?
Absolutely. You should be able to market it. And I love the fact that your restaurants are having more and more whole food plant-based meals.
It is pretty cool.
I mean, that is so cool because people need options. We really need options that are tasty, that shows that the food that you and I eat is amazing.
You know what's really cool, Sherry? You know, and our listeners have heard us talk about this before, but I just have to repeat this because this is important. You've shared with me about batch cooking and you talked to me.
Batch cooking.
You probably get sick of hearing me say this, but this whole thing that you taught me about making broth and, you know, I've started really looking at the way I prepare my fruits and vegetables and then saving the ends, the butts, the pieces, the clippings of all my vegetables and throwing them in the freezer. So recently, we're recording this during the whole coronavirus thing. So the grandchildren are here and my daughters who run our restaurant company, they were here visiting as they dropped off the grandkids to be in quarantine with us. And while they were here, I was adding the vegetables into my freezer bag. And one of my daughters was like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well," of course, I always say, "Well, Sherry said," I said, "Well, Sherry taught me how to make my own broth. And so I don't saute anything in oil anymore. I only saute in vegetable broth." And so then we had this long conversation about it. And without getting into the details of that, one of the things one of my daughters said was, "I love that you're doing that. Can you teach me some ideas that we can take back to the restaurant so that we can prepare, bulk prepare in advance, more items that can be used for whole food plant-based?" And Sherry,
absolutely,
literally and truly, they're ready for the kinds of recipes that we could deliver to them. So, I mean, I think just in terms of what we're learning, how we know it impacts people's health. And here's the thing. I've taken some side swipes from people that have said to me like, "Oh, well, you know, you're promoting vegan living. Oh, you're promoting whole food plant-based. Oh. Well, isn't that ironic that you own a breakfast restaurant?" But here's what I would say to them. Thank you for your observation. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Yes, I do own a breakfast chain that does sell ham, bacon, sausage, uses cheese and eggs and milk and all of that stuff. And while I don't eat those things personally, a lot of people still do. But here's the big key issue. As an agent of change, I can make much more rapid change in a much more meaningful way as an insider in the business rather than coming at it as an outsider, right?
Absolutely. And
so
you know,
it was exciting.
It's just circling back to what we're talking about, blaming people, making... You know, we're judging, right?
Yes.
I mean, it really is going right back to what you said. I have to tell you, the other day I met somebody and they said, "Oh, you're vegan." And I'm like, "Yeah." And I don't usually start conversations with that, but someone else told them.
Well, you're not a typical vegan then, right? Because you know how you could find out if someone's a vegan. Don't worry, they'll tell you.
Yeah,
no. Right.
But this guy actually said, "I'll bet you lose a lot of friends, huh?" I'm like, like, what the heck? There's a lot more to me than just what I eat, right? I mean,
yes,
to have that judgment that I'm either crazy or I don't even know what their judgments are. I eat bad food. You know, every time they hear that at home, we only eat vegan. And I've said this before, my husband eats pretty much what he wants when we go out. And it's less and less animal. Let me tell you, as he gets more and more into the whole foods, he really doesn't feel good after he eats the standard American diet. So it's really rare for him to even order something out. But they always look at him with such pity, like, oh,
you're married to her.
How do you cope with eating that food? Well, the guy is the happiest man on. I mean, he loves the food. He's almost 70. He doesn't take any medications. You know, he moves well. He's a normal weight. All these wonderful things. So he loves the food, too. But even if he didn't love the food, I'm sure he would give up the fat to be healthy, honestly. Because as you age more and more, it's more in your face. It's more, I need to spend $300 on medication. It's more, I can't climb up these stairs. We have big stairs getting to our house, our front door. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, most people come to the back door because they don't want to climb the flight of stairs. And they're half our age. Like, come on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what? It really comes down to, the proof really is in the pudding.
It is.
It really is in the pudding. And speaking of pudding, I want you to help me figure out how to make chia pudding. Oh, do you know how to do that?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. You just get the chia seeds and you could use, like, you want chocolate, cocoa?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, just chia seeds, maybe some almond milk, banana, and cocoa with some maple syrup.
And then just put that in the Vitamix, like, or the Cuisinart or something?
Yeah, not the Vitamix.
Kind of like the Silken Mousse?
Mm-hmm. Not the Vitamix, because do you want it to have that tapioca texture?
No, I want it to... nope, definitely not. That stuff is so gross.
Then you want to put it in the blender.
Okay, and the Cuisinart?
The Cuisinart probably won't break the seeds up as much. So if you don't want those seeds like tapioca pudding, you're going to have to put it in the blender. You're so funny. You make me laugh so hard. And I have to tell you, since we're laughing and we're being silly, you were talking about all the vegetables and how you save them, and you kept saying butts, and I'm putting the butts, and I got to tell you, I wanted to have five-year-old toilet humor.
Oh, I was
so tempted to go, ooh, you put the butts in the freezer.
Oh my gosh, well, twice in recent weeks, I've actually had carrots that have two legs. And I bring the carrots up, and there's literally like a waistline and then two legs coming down. And I can't help but take them over to the kids. You know, they're 9, right? It's a boy and a girl twin. And I'm like, ooh, look at this carrot. You know, it's kind of fun making it walk across the counter. You know, here's the thing. When we talk about obesity not being people's fault, when in addition to the things that happened in the 70s, in addition to the massive quantity of food that's everywhere now at all times,
and
our
toxic,
no matter where you're at.
And it's toxic food. It's not feeding the good gut. It doesn't have any fiber. You don't fill up. It's that calorie density issue where you have high calorie but very low bulk. And you know that we're all programmed to eat almost the same amount of weight of food. Okay, so we all have
volume, right?
Well, volume and weight. Yeah. So when you talk about calorie density, when you're eating fresh fruit and you're eating celery, carrots, potatoes, grains, beans, all these wonderful things, they fill up your stomach, right? And so there's a certain amount of volume that you feel or weight of food in your stomach that is satisfying. Okay.
Yes. So, and it's different for each person, right?
It's different for each person. But what's funny is studies are showing that it's kind of a similar amount that we do every day.
Wow.
But if you're eating things that dissolve in your mouth, that have absolutely no fiber, you're still going to try to go back to that same volume. So you're still going to be eating that volume.
Right. It's one of those things where, you know, a calorie is not a calorie. A bunch of carrots, 100 calories worth of carrots, raw carrots, fills you up. It's that volume of food that gets into your body and it fills you up versus you slurp down 100 calories of soda and it's in there and it's fast and then you're still thirsty. Here's the other part. I mean, two other things that come to my mind. One, proportions or, you know, portion sizes have increased.
Huge.
I read recently that McDonald's portion sizes compared to their original sizes in 1955, their burger, fries, and soda offerings have increased somewhere between 250 and 500%.
Don't you remember? Okay.
250 to 500%.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
We're going back to the 1960s. Right? Remember those pieces of patties? They were just these little round, flat, circular things. And you only got one. And if you were lucky, you got a little tiny bit of fries with it that you had to share.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Or even think about back when we were young, you went out to dinner or what? I mean, there was four kids. We got to go out to dinner on our birthdays. Luckily, we didn't have twins, because otherwise she would have really, we would have only gotten to go.
Right.
But you only went out 4 to 5 times a year, not a week.
Right.
And now we're going
out. Not a week.
Now we're going out to either lunch or dinner way more frequently. And we know that they're using low quality food, high fat, high animal products, high salt, and high sugar to keep you coming back for more. So the calorie density, if you're eating whole foods, you're going to get that same amount of volume and you're going to feel satisfied versus the amount of volume it takes for a, you know, like steak or chicken or any high fat food is going to stick in your stomach and it's going to be way more calories than the fruits and the vegetables.
You know, it just, it hurts my feelings when I see someone who is really struggling.
Yeah.
A young person in the grocery store on a scooter.
Oh.
And they don't know any better. They're in the scooter and they're picking up, you know, a rack of ribs, a bag of chips, you know, a high fructose corn syrup laden barbecue sauce. They just don't know. And what I do know for sure and certain without a shadow of a doubt is that confused people do nothing.
Right.
And we are all so confused. That's why I think it's so critical for us as individuals to come forward with information like this. You know, potatoes are your friend.
Oh, love potatoes.
Salads are your friend. I love potatoes.
But potatoes are not your friend if you smear on sour cream, butter, cheese, and bacon.
Right.
Then it's not your friend.
You got to dress them properly. Right. Then it's not your friend. But what, you know, we were talking recently about the difference between beef and broccoli and the calorie load,
right?
By weight, a pound of beef has something like 750 calories in it. And a pound of broccoli, like, could you even eat a pound of broccoli? I'm not sure, but I think a pound of broccoli has 100 calories or 150 calories.
Right.
It's crazy.
But that's the whole thing about calorie density. I mean, what you're doing is just explaining in a very much, thank you, shorter version than I did.
Well, here's the other thing. I've been thinking about this whole, and it's just been niggling away in the back of my mind, this whole idea that they, and I'm talking about big food here, you know, big food has really, and I really do think that there is big food and big pharma are working together in this. In fact, a lot of cases, the big food companies and the big pharma companies are part of the same conglomerates, which is just creepy. I don't even want to go there because now I'm starting to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but there's no conspiracy there. It's like, why wouldn't you make money on both ends of the transaction? And that's what they're doing. In some cases, they're making you fat with the food. And then boom, here you come in, you know, a few years later, and now you've got some disease that we've got the magic pill for that. Same company, crazy town. But when I say that people are being hijacked, this idea of the hijacking is sticking in my head because what I know for sure is people are confused. They don't know what to do.
Right.
They're being hijacked by bright colors, by super tasty, incredibly addicting foods that an expert has given to them. And this is the key. When they eat that food, Their body says, but where's the nutrients?
Right.
But where's the nutrients? But what they're not hearing, where's the nutrients? Their body is saying, I'm still hungry.
Yep.
Because what their message they're hearing is, I need more food. But the message that's really being sent is, I need nutrients.
Right.
The cells are saying, I need nutrients. I need nutrition. I need, you know, vitamins and minerals. I need stuff to build. And so the person says, oh, I need food. Oh, well, I need more food. So they just continue going back to that. They're hijacked and then they self-hijack.
They sure do.
It's a sad state of affairs.
And there's no way around it. We can't, there's just no way around if we're not educating and we're not making public health a priority, if we're not making people a priority, we can't fix the problem. And right now we have to fix the problem because it's just escalating and it's only going to get harder on us financially, physically, and in every other way, emotionally.
Well, I know we're coming to the end of our discussion, but I can't help but make a connection to the meat industry, the meat, the cheese, or what I would call the meat and the liquid meat industry. The liquid meat industry being any kind of milk or cheese or sour cream or
right.
the dairy products or the things that melt like butter. The meat and the liquid meat industry were right now in the midst of this coronavirus, still under, most of the country is still under lockdown. What we're finding is that the young people that are being afflicted here are the young people that are experiencing obesity.
Right.
The young people that are experiencing overweight, the young people that are experiencing health issues, underlying health issues. And I have to tie it together to information that's recently been promoted in the news that says 7 out of 10 of the last major problems that have come through public health-wise, pandemic-wise, epidemic-wise, whether it's SARS or MERS or this particular coronavirus, they come from the animal kingdom.
Right.
And to me, it sounds like we can make a big difference in our lives by not getting those products in our body to begin with, not to mention the conditions under which the animals are raised. And isn't it
Absolutely.
Ironic that the very same stack them in, pack them in, make them sick conditions that we see on concentrated animal feeding operations, those, you know, cattle lots and that kind of thing, it's the same kind of pack them in, stack them in places that we've seen the biggest outbreaks, I think, in the coronavirus. Like in our little tiny county here, we're out in the rurals. We're in the what we call the cow counties, right? There's 15,000 people in our entire county. And how many coronavirus cases did we have that are now already resolved? Count
I
them,
think
folks.
Four.
No deaths. And yet we're still under lockdown like that too.
Right.
But we are not in this little county stacked in, packed in, you know, breathing each other's air. And, you know, could you imagine? I have to ask this question. Could you imagine if you lived on the 133rd floor of an apartment building in New York City? How do you get up there? You have to get in an elevator
Absolutely.
With the other 8,000 people
right.
that live in that building, stacked and packed in. That's gross.
It's so tough. And you can see how hard they were hit too, because the subways,
right.
the housing, it's such high density. And we are very, very lucky that we live here.
We are.
We're so lucky.
We are.
But what I love about living
it
here.
Seems,
oh.
Yes.
Is,
well, I was going to say, it seems to me those people that are packed in and stacked in like that could really do something good for themselves
absolutely.
By switching their intake to a whole food plant-based lifestyle. They have to give themselves every benefit of the doubt, every chance they can to combat. I'm to the point in my life where I believe without a shadow of a doubt that our own personal health security is more important than anything
oh,
else
yeah.
we could do. We have to take it. We have to take charge
we
of
do.
Our own self and our own health.
We absolutely do. And you're right. It's in our hands. Unfortunately, the message isn't out, and still people think they have to have animal products to be well and to heal. And that's what this
right.
program's all about, is talking
right.
about
you
the
don't.
Fact that the animal products are what's harming your health. The high fat, high cholesterol,
it's so crazy.
The processed food is harming your health. And if you can just take one or two steps a day to work yourself towards more
mm-hmm.
vegetables. I mean, you and I talk about, start your meal with a salad. have a big bowl right. of vegetable soup, and then you'll be fuller, yep. you'll eat less.
Yep.
So
yep.
just little tricks like that are going to start bringing you to better health and a better life.
And it's this idea that you front load your meals with fruits and vegetables, with grains, nuts, and seeds, that you're putting the good stuff in first. Right. If you wait and you say, oh, well, I'll have fruit for dessert. Dude, oh, no. after you ate a cheeseburger and french fries, fruit's not really going to be your savior. Well, you know, you're going to be too full to eat it anyway.
Absolutely. And if we're going to talk about calorie density and how much volume you're going to eat, how much weight you're going to eat, fill up that volume mm-hmm. with the good things first. Fill up that volume mm-hmm. with the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, the rice, and then that little mm-hmm. bit left over. If you have to have something mm-hmm. else, that's when you do it. You don't start with it because you're going to fill up that volume with things that are not healing, that are harming.
Well, and I think you get a lot of folks too who say things like, well, I really need my, I got to have my ice cream, you know, I need my sweet treat, I need a cookie. And there are so many ways that you can do that without having ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can make cookies. What are the cookies you and I've both been kind of strung out on lately? I've been making them for the kids, it seems like, three times a week. They're so easy. It's you know, and I know we've only got a couple minutes left. I get it. So I'm going to rip through this quickly.
Fast.
But it's a little bit of peanut butter. It's peanut butter, bananas, oats in a bowl with a tiny bit of vanilla.
Yeah, that's it.
Mix it all together and bake it. And hello, it's like oatmeal and it's
yeah.
it's a peanut butter chocolate chip cookie.
It's delicious.
Well, if you put chocolate chips in it, then it's a peanut butter chocolate chip cookie.
I put cocoa in them too, and that was delicious.
Nice.
It was good. All right.
Sherry, this is always, it's always such a joy to talk with you. It's always so,
so fun.
Inspiring. I always end up ranting. I can't help it. But I feel like the knowledge that you bring to the table, the passion, the experience, the wisdom, the joy that you have had over the decades of serving people, helping people make good decisions, it's so worthy to share it with the people here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour, to bring it to people's consciousness and awareness, because you're right, people
they
don't know. They're
know.
Still caught in yeah. the idea. And they have to know. They have to know that their own health is in their own hands. And it's not your fault.
Nope.
Because the society, the system is stacked against you. The deck is stacked against you.
But it is your fault if you have the information and you refuse to even try it. Sorry.
That's right. No, that's true. If you have the information, because if you continue to do a behavior when you could change it, then you're choosing it. If you're not changing it, you're choosing
right.
it. Once you know, you know.
You can't unknow.
Once you know,
it.
You can't unknow.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank
you,
Sherry,
you.
Again, for co-hosting with me here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. As usual, you bring wisdom and incredible depth for our listeners. I appreciate it. So thank you again. I'm Misty Young. I was joined here today by Sherry Carey Baum, Master of Science in Nursing. We are coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon, the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest, on KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. We hope to see you again soon on the Ocean Mist Power Hour. We appreciate you very much. Thanks again, and we'll see you
Thank
soon.
You.
Take care. Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.